Would you pray with me, please, start the world? Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you for being the God who sees all and knows all and hear all, God. And you know what's going on in us and with us right now. And Father, we just release ourselves to you in this moment, God. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will be the teacher, that he will be the preacher, that he will do the ministry today, Lord. And we yield ourselves to you. Father, we pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church today. And we'll ever be careful to give your name all the praise, honor, and glory. For you and you alone are worthy to be praised.
Yes,
we pray it all now in the name of Jesus. And the church said,
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, Pursuit Church. I'm glad to be here. We had intended to be here before now. I think we had set a date at some time back, and I wasn't able to make it then, but I'm glad to be here today. I just believe that God is doing things a little unconventional. And you have to have an unconventional mindset to understand and flow with what he is doing. And so Brother Jimmy and I, as he said, we met taking these classes together and still becoming at this point in our lives. And it's just a kindred spirit, I guess you would call that.
Yes.
It was just on us. And so when there's nothing there, God has a way of moving you on. You never see that person again. But if there's something there, God has a way of reconnecting.
That's right.
And so we have been reconnected, maybe not physically, as you know, as he said, but in the spirit. God has been doing some things, and so he was on my mind, and I was on his mind, and I was following him on Facebook, and he was following me on Facebook, and he's watching what my ministry is doing, I'm watching what his ministry is doing, and so in some way or another, God put that connection there, and so I'm glad, I said all that to say this, I'm glad to be here this morning. Before I get to the message, we were, just a moment ago, believing in faith for healing. For healing. And I want to say this. Healing is a product of your faith.
That's right.
It's a product of your faith. It is not a product of, oh God, look how sick I am, won't you do something? He sees that. He already knows that. It's not a product of how sad I can be about it. It's not a product of, oh, how many people gonna pat me on the back because I'm sick. It comes from healing. I remember the story of the woman who had an issue of blood, and you know the whole story. She touched Jesus' garment, and then he made this statement. He said, your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
Not just healed, but your faith has made you whole. And that includes your healing, but it includes every other demonic attack that the enemy attached to you with that sickness. Now you are whole. You are set free from that. And so I want to encourage you today, those of you who are going through in your physical bodies or maybe some kind of other sickness, have faith in the healing power of God.
Yes.
He still heals. As a matter of fact, he is healing right now. You receive it by faith.
Amen.
You receive your healing by faith. I didn't get saved like most people did. I got saved at St. Dominic Hospital. Everybody knows where St. Dominic is in Jackson, Mississippi. I got saved at 15 years old, somewhere between Sunday and Tuesday, and I'll tell you why, I don't really know. But at 15 years old, I was at my home church. I was teaching Sunday school, and I had a heart attack. Yeah, I had a heart attack. They took me to what used to be Martha Jones Hospital, and they couldn't figure out why. It was a mild heart attack, but a heart attack nonetheless. You don't want one if you haven't had one, I can tell you that. And I woke up, I remember, Tuesday at St. Dominic. And in those 3 days, the Lord spoke to me. And he told me about my life. He told me about ministry. And I was teaching Sunday school, and I played a little bit, so I was playing the piano and loved church. But I didn't have that relationship that I needed to have. And in that hospital, it may have been the nurses, but in my mind, it was the Lord. And he told me this. If you're going to do this, you're going to do it my way. Will you come to me? And like Paul said, whether or John, whether it was in the spirit or, you know, whether it's the natural, I don't know. But I remember saying, yes, Lord. And he healed me. They never found out why I had a heart attack. They said it could have been many different things, but it, no conclusion of why it happened. I know why it happened. He healed me for his work.
Amen.
I put my trust in him, my faith in him. He is a healer. The Bible says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have evidence of your healing. It is your faith. When you get healed, that's not the evidence. The evidence is I believe right now that God is a healer and my body is healed. Whether it's a cold or cancer, it's the same God, the same Spirit. He will heal you. So I'm telling you today, as Brother Jimmy said, our faith kind of hits a low sometimes. When it hits a low, get your faith up.
That's right.
Put your faith back in God. Believe his word. God, if you heal in the Bible, you heal today. If you did it for him, you can do it for me. If you did it for her, you can do it for me. Same God, same Spirit, same healing. You have to believe it. Was that a good one? Okay, that was one. Alright. I just want you to believe that. I want you to believe that. So, Brother Jimmy, you know when you're in a place like this and the Spirit is moving, you just gotta go with what the Spirit is saying. And I'm gonna preach what he gave me, but something else might come with it. And I do have a timer, so I know sometimes we go a little long, but I'm gonna be a good steward of our time today. But it's easy to preach in a place like this.
Yeah, it's
easy to preach where you know the Holy Spirit is doing the work.
Glory
to God. So all I gotta do is stand here and let him say what he wants to say. That's real easy. Amen. The Lord had put on my heart to really speak a word that will free us, to really empower us to be the church that we should be. I'm talking about really being free. Now, I want to say this because my church is very similar to yours in style and spirit and everything. And I can feel what's going on right now. And I want you to know what it really means to be free to do the work of the Lord in your life. Everyone in here has a purpose. Pastor Jimmy and I are pastors. We carry the word, but we are not the only vessels that the word of God resides in. We are not the only vessel that the Spirit of God resides in. Everyone in here has a ministry.
Yes.
Now that's scary sometimes because you think Pastor Jimmy's going to call on you one Sunday and say, come up here and preach. That's not what I'm talking about. Everybody has a God-given ministry that was birthed into you before you got here. It wasn't an afterthought. After you got here, the Lord said, okay, there's one. Let me see what I'm going to do with that. You came here with a purpose. The reason that you have gone through some of the things that you went through is because the enemy understands. If you ever get freed up enough to truly walk in the purpose that God has for your life, his kingdom is so in trouble.
That's right.
And so we need to hear that word that will free us up to do the will of God. Amen. I want to go to the scripture today. And this is a very lengthy passage of scripture. I know that some churches have a tradition to stand when the scripture is being read. I don't know if you do that here. If you don't, good deal. Stay seated then. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, lengthy passage of scripture here in the King James Version. I won't stick with the King James, but I know that is the traditional version that we usually preach from. Verses 1 through 11. And I know you're familiar with this. It says this. Then came Jesus to the scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. For these say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. And for a subject, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. I want to talk about the deception of tradition. Now, I know I can preach that here because this is a non-traditional church. And some of you who are here, you probably had to do the hard work of breaking away from tradition to be here. And some of you who are here, you're probably being heavily criticized for being at a spirit-filled church where the Holy Spirit moves and you're free to hear from God and not have to adhere to a bunch of rules and regulations that God couldn't care less about. And to move as the Spirit leads. But even in our freedom, there is so much tradition that we bring along with us. It really hinders the work that God wants to do through us. And so today, what we have to do is we have to purpose in our hearts that I'm going to be free from the tradition of man. I want to say tradition of church. Do you know that there can be more bondage in church than in the world? I mean, literally at church, and you're bound. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's almost like the spirit inside of you cries out, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I want to go where the Spirit of God comes to me and speaks to me.
Yes,
and I am free to then respond to what the Spirit says without fear of persecution from people who are bound, who live by tradition, and they think that because they're doing everything that man says to do right, that they're getting brownie points with God. We've all been there. All been there. Now here's the thing. In a spirit-filled church where we want to be free, sometimes there can be some bondage attached to it. Because I left some family behind at that other church. Or I left some friends behind at the church. And I don't really fit in anymore. Can't really go back. But I still love them. And I want to have a connection. But that connection hinders me from this relationship with God. What do I do? That's hard to call, isn't it? That's tough.
Yes.
Or, here's where the rubber really meets the road. The Spirit lives in me, and I've been filled with the Spirit, but my spouse isn't. And I want to worship together, but my spouse won't come along. Because they're bound with this tradition. They're bound, I say tradition, but we know it's a spirit. Can we just be free today and call it what it is? It's a spirit. Because if the enemy can suppress the God that's in you. If the enemy can suppress that desire to want to have a higher connection, if the enemy can suppress that, then it stops you from being free to be what God called you to be.
Right.
And to do what God has called you to do. And know what you end up doing? You end up compromising.
Right.
We think compromising is, you know, if my friend over here tells a dirty joke and I laugh, then I'm compromising. Yeah, that's compromising too. But when God has called you to a higher calling and you won't walk out of the fullness of it because you're stuck in dead relationships that are going nowhere, you're stuck with wanting to have this group of friends or this circle of friends, and you're stuck in that and you're bound, then you compromise. It's very difficult to go and minister to someone else when you feel bound yourself.
That's right.
And so Jesus is here having this conversation with the Pharisees. Those were the religious people of the day. And trying to give them some clarity on what it means to be right or to be wrong. What it means to really follow God, take Him at His word, or to want to have this desire to fit in. Look at your disciples. They're over there eating bread. They don't even wash their hands. They call themselves clean. Disciples. Look how dirty they are. Our appearance was the focus. And Jesus shoots right back at them about how these traditions you hold on to, that it makes you so pious. You know, well, look at us. Our hands are clean, and, you know, we wash and pray before we eat bread. That makes us better than everybody else. But what about this other stuff Jesus says? You're supposed to honor your mother and father, but look what you're doing. And you say you can dishonor your mother and father, and there's no problem with that. That's just my translation of it. I know it's not theological, but that's what he's saying there. You say, whosoever says to his mother and father, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest profit me, and honor thou his mother and father shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God, some translations say the word of God, of none effect. That is what tradition does. And you would be surprised how many people honor tradition over the word of God. Now let me say this, all tradition is not bad. All tradition is not bad. I'm not telling you not to go to Thanksgiving dinner at Big Mama's house this Thanksgiving. I'm not saying that. But there are some things that we hold on to that it becomes a hindrance because we value that above the word of God. The NIV says it this way, starting at verse 6. They are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Pastor, are you saying the word of God can be nullified? Well, the word of God says that you nullify it by your traditions, which means that the power of the word, or the manifestation of the power of the word, depends on whether you are willing to let go of some of these other things. What we think is that the will of God is just automatic. Whatever He says is just going to happen. And although God is sovereign, the word is not automatic. I can rule it. The word says, it is not the will of God that any man should perish, but that they will all come to repentance and be saved. But the word of God also tells us that there are some that will burn in the lake of fire. So if the will of God were automatic, then everybody would repent and everybody would get saved. It's just logic. But at the end of the day, your salvation, even though it's finished at the cross, it depends on whether you receive that salvation, whether you receive the free gift or not. And so the point I'm making here is that, you have some responsibility in making the decision whether you're going to receive the fullness of God or not. And if you continue to hold on to the things of the world and value the world system above the things of God, then there's no way that you can be free to walk in the fullness of God. And so he says here, by your traditions, you make the word of God of non-effect or ineffective or here, null and void. That makes me seem pretty powerful. I've got some real power in that. The power in it is the decision. I once said this. One of the most powerful words in the word of God is not Jesus. Wow. Most powerful word in the word of God may not even be God itself, the word. It may not be faith or love or hope or any of that. Most powerful word, in my opinion, you may not agree with this, is if. Think about this. If thou shalt confess the Son of God, then lot of power. Takes all the pressure off Jesus. Why? His work is finished. The if is with you. If you can lay down this tradition, if you can break relationships, that's hard to do. That is easier said than done. Even though I'm standing here preaching this to you, I can tell you it is easier said than done for me to say, hey, you got some friends at school that are doing things that you know are ungodly. Just ditch them. Yeah. Walk away from them. They're bad for you. And you're thinking, those are my friends. That's my homies. That's who I hang with, too. I don't know if that's the word anymore. You know, those are my peeps. So, you know, this is what we've always done. We always hang out. And I don't see anything wrong with that. But does it make you compromise the word of God? If it does, then it just becomes a tradition. And I mean, you can get very, very deep with that. I'm going to leave that part with you. But the point is, if we're really going to be free, we got to make an evaluation in our lives. What takes precedence here? Is it the Word of God, or is it how it's raised? Is it the Word of God, or the opinions of these people? Is it the Word of God, or how I feel I may be perceived if one of my friends at work comes to my church and they find out that I go to one of those churches where they believe in the Holy Spirit, where they lay on hands and they believe that the word of faith can resurrect and save souls? If we go to, you know, if they find out that I go to one of those lunatic churches, that's what they call us.
Yes.
How they going to perceive me when I go back to work Monday? Wow, that's a lot of bondage right there.
Yes, it is.
Now, here's where it gets to the point I'm talking about, that the tradition stops you from being all that God wants you to be. It stops you from walking in the fullness of what the spirit man inside of you knows he can have, he can do, he should be doing. Because if you feel like my church is so non-traditional that if I invite these people, they're going to think I'm lonely, so I'd rather not just say anything, and I'll just go there and worship in the Spirit and enjoy the Holy Spirit and not invite them.
Preach it, brother.
Yeah.
And something on the inside of you wants so bad for them what you have. You want them to have the experience that you have had so badly, and you wrestle with that.
Yes.
Perception. What are they going to think about me? Oh, and oh boy, if the spirit just gets high and somebody would just go off the cuff way out of left field and speak in tongues.
Ooh.
I'm ruined. That's just my reputation's on the line.
Come on.
And all the time you believe it because you have seen it and you know it is true and you know it is available and you know the power that is in it. You know the power that comes from it, and you know what God will do when you walk in the fullness of it. But tradition is so strong,
right,
that it keeps us sometimes where we are. Today, right now, there's something going on in the church that is very, very sad. You know, we talk about all the things that are going on in the world, Brother Jimmy, but sometimes we as a church would look in a mirror, we would see that we're almost a mirror image of what's going on in the world. Today, it's estimated that 400 ministry leaders, pastors, worship leaders, deacons, will either get kicked out of church or resign because they found their names on the Ashley Morgan, was that the website? Something like that. Ashley Madison website, which is a website for cheaters or people who want to cheat or thinking about cheating, just don't know how to do it. Whatever the case may be, they get out of it. And 400 churches are going to lose good people. Because tradition says that when you have a spiritual problem, you keep it to yourself. We've heard this. We've all heard this. What happens in the house stays in the house. If there's a problem in this house, we'll deal with it in this house. It doesn't go outside this house. That's our family business. Anybody ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Anybody ever said that to your kids? Anybody ever had your parents say that to you? You know what that is? It's tradition. And people can't get the help they need, even though they're in a place where the help is available, because tradition says that our family name and our family reputation is more important than getting the healing that our family needs. So, mom and dad got in a big fight. The kid goes to school. The kid's crying. The teacher said, "What's wrong?" I can't tell you. Kid gets bad grades. But that kid now is indoctrinated that this is family business. And people see us as the good family. And our family has a tradition. Our last name is well respected. So you can't go out there talking about what's going on in the house. What happens in this house stays in this house. And if you go out there, it can get like that sometimes. All that is tradition. Some of these pastors are struggling. And they don't feel like they have anywhere to go because the value system is all messed up. All messed up. Now, well, Pastor, you're up there. Won't you tell us what you done? Why are you talking about everybody else? That's the thing. If we were to take this screen right here and say, well, this is church and we got some spirit-filled people in here. I know these people love God. And I'm just going to take today the life of one person in here as far as they have lived. And we're going to play it, fast forward through it, and let everybody see how to be a good Christian. Do I have any volunteers who we can see your life? Exactly. That's freeing right there for me. Because if we were going to condemn everyone who ever made a mistake, we have to kick them all out. But our church tradition says when a leader makes a mistake, that's the end of their ministry forever. Good people make a mistake, have nowhere to go because of tradition. But the church tradition says when you make a mistake, it's over for you. There's no second chances for pastors. It's crazy. That's why I say when we look at the world and we look at the church, it's almost a mirror image. 400 pastors are going to lose their jobs, and their names are out there. Some of them will probably try to go and plant a church. Some of them will get the help they need. They'll go to therapy, and they'll say, look, I'm changed. But tradition is going to ever point at them and say, no, you messed up. You sin too bad. Let me pose to you two names. Jared Foley. Anybody know that name?
Subway.
I mean, just the picture of role model. Turned his life around. Went from, one size to another size. Ain't right. Did everything right. And I'm just the face of health now. And behind the scenes, there were some things going on. If I'm the face of Subway, who can I talk to about what's going on in my life? Without fear of being outed. And I'm going to lose my good name forever. Our value systems are warped. What's more valuable to you? Your job? Your career? Your good name? The image? Or getting yourself in line with God? And being healed of a disease. Let me pose another name to you. Michael Vick. Everybody knows that name. Dog killer. I can't believe the Steelers gave him another chance. He can't have another chance because he killed dogs. It's just not right. He's the scum of the earth. He should be wiped off the face of the earth. Never get another chance. The same thing that the world has done with Michael Vick, the same thing the church does with pastors and leaders and people who fall. Mirror image. Just we are here with the Holy Spirit. And they're out there, but there's a mirror image. That's what tradition is doing to the church. And you know who's behind it. It's the enemy. Satan's job is to deceive. And that's why tradition is so deceptive. Do you understand that Satan only has one trick? He only has one trick. Only one thing he can work with. Deception. And he's very, very good at it. He is the world's best. I'm telling you, there's nobody better at deception than Satan. And there's a scripture that some, Brother Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, you can probably quote it better than I can, but it talks about the enemy being able to transform himself to an angel of light to deceive you. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's not hurting anybody and, you know, it's amoral. It's not immoral or moral, you know, it's just somewhere in the middle. That's where the world is going. That's where the church is going. You don't have to be male or female. Just whatever you identify with. That's where the church is going. Yeah. You don't really have to be saved all the way. You just have to go to church. It's tradition. And as long as you make at least 3 Sundays out of the month, you serve somewhere, sing, clean, parking lot, you know, and do something, and you get brownie points, then you're good. Because that's what tradition tells us. Why do you go to church? You go to church because that's what you always done. You grew up going to church, and that's why you go to church. You would not believe the people that is the only reason they go to church. I go to church because it's Sunday. What do you think? It's what everybody does on Sunday, right? And for them, church is nothing more than, say the word, tradition. We, the people of God, cannot afford to allow that deception to come upon us. Because when we do, it strips us of our power. It strips us. Most people come to church and it's real quiet and it's, you know, this is a nice ambiance and this is a good sleeping place. I can lay out right here. Go in. You know? For most people, that's what it is. Church is so boring because all I do is go there because it's Sunday. Didn't necessarily go there to hear anything in particular. Didn't necessarily go to give anything to God in particular, but that's where all my friends are. That's where everybody's going. So it's Sunday. Let's go to church. We used to call it Sunday meeting day. We've got to get out of that. There has to be more substance to your faith. There has to be more substance to your relationship with God than just to do something because it is the norm.
That's right.
You know, you can have church on Monday. You can have church on Tuesday. You can have church by yourself. You are the church. I often have church by myself. Because it's not church when I come here. Wherever I am, that's where church is. I am the church. You know, some people, it would just wear them out. If you were at the parking lot at Walmart and you ask, you know, can I pray for you? And then they'll look at you out here in the parking lot like now. Yeah, let's hold hands and pray. And you're praying and they're looking around. You ever felt that before or had it happen to you? It's just, this is not church. This is a parking lot. Well, tradition says it's not church. The Bible says we are the church.
That's right.
It is, the kingdom is within us. Wherever we go, that's church. But if you have a traditional mindset, you are powerless. Because somebody might need that word of prayer. They may need that word of hope or faith in that moment. And you know what we say? We say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. And by the time you drive off and get home, you forgot that you were even supposed to pray. So when is the time for church? Time for church is now, when you're non-traditional. The church continues to uphold some of these things that are happening out in the world. And if we're not careful, here's the trick of the enemy. We want people to come in. But the enemy wants the ones on the outside to feel safe. So what he wants to do is create the worldly atmosphere in the church. So that when I go there, I'll feel so awkward because everybody's there. Everybody there is just like me. You know, I'm a good person. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. I provide for my family. I'm good to my wife. I drink a little bit. I don't get drunk. Well, not really, really drunk. I just get mellowed out. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I don't hit my wife or anything. And I can find me a new drinking buddy at church. Because there are a lot of people who feel that way. is real, real quiet right now. I'm not talking about anybody in here. This is just a general message about tradition at the church. All right? You know, there are things that I do that, you know, they may not be the best thing for me, but I don't necessarily see in the Word of God where that's a sin. So, you know, I smoke when I get nervous. And I don't see anything in the Bible that says, thou shalt not smoke. And I see other people at church smoke. So that's a church for me. You see what I'm saying? It's so deceiving. And then we, on the other hand, we want to welcome them. We don't want them to feel awkward. We want them to feel like, hey, we're all God's people together, but here's the truth. We're not. Nobody wants to say that. There should be something that defines you, that makes you stand out. And if they really want what you got, then they should be willing to come and get what you got. And to do it the way you're doing it, not you compromise and go the other way. But tradition says, well, we just want to make everybody feel comfortable. Hell is not comfortable. There's a dividing line. There's heaven and there's hell. There's no tropical place in between. There's, you know, we got to get back to the point of saying you have to make a decision. Church is falling into the world system, and the world system is just based on nothing but tradition. And Jesus told the Pharisees this. He said, what you're doing is you are teaching for doctrine. Now, it gets real deep. You are teaching for doctrine the tradition of man. Wow. What that really means is that you are equating tradition with the gospel, or equating what you feel. I hate to hurt your feelings today, but God really, in a sense, doesn't care what you feel. Well, I feel like this is all right. He doesn't really care about what you feel because he has already told you what you should think.
That's right.
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
He already told you that. But we want to compromise and we're saying, well, God is forsaken souls. Really? So, if I go out there and act like them to win them as a friend and make them think that I'm more like them, that's going to win their soul for the kingdom? I don't see the logic in that. I don't see it. But for many people, it's absolutely logical. So, we got to be careful. Now, I want to say something here that's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable. But I got to go here. It was said, I believe Martin Luther King said, that the most divided time in a week or something, maybe it was Sunday, was Sunday morning, where the church is, because of the tradition of man, the church is divided by race.
That's right.
But let me tell you this, the church is not just divided by race. The church is divided by politics. The church is divided by who has money and who doesn't have money. The church is divided by who's friends with the mayor and who's not friends with the mayor. The church is divided by a lot of different things. And you know what all that is? Tradition. It's what we know. It's how things have always been, and it's worked. So, leave well enough alone. Have you ever heard that? Tradition. If it ain't broke, don't. Yeah. Seems like we can quote some of that stuff more readily than we can quote the Word of God. But it's nothing but tradition. And so, there's that mirror image again. If you go out in the world, you know, there's this side of town and that side of town. There's the rich people over here and the poor people over there. There's the black people over here and the white people over there. And if you look in the church, it's the same way. There's the big rich church over there, and everybody wants to go over there because they got all the cool stuff for youth and all the cool stuff for children, and they make this amount of money, and they're the white-collar people. And I just want to stay on my side with the regular people, the blue-collar, hard-working folk. That's who we are. That's tradition. And the enemy stands back, and he's doing this number. I gave it to you. You took it, and you ran with it. You making my job easy. Wow. The most divided time, he said, is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock or whatever church time is. And he's dead. And it's still that way. We hate to say it, but it's still that way. And it's okay. You know, I'm not an advocate of every church needs to be a mixture of all races because that's the way it's going to be in heaven. It is going to be that way in heaven. But you can only minister to who the Lord sends to you. But you have to be open to receive whoever the Lord sends to you.
That's right.
Not just who looks like me or who goes to work with me or who dresses like me or who lives in my neighborhood. Tradition says, you stay on your side of the line, I stay on mine. They're husbands and wives that have the dividing line in the bed. And you're on my side. And they elbow each other. Get on your side of the bed. Now, I grew up with a brother, and we shared a bed, and we had the line. You know, I'm hot natured, and he's not. And we elbow and kick each other all night, and we know how we slept. Because we had a line. That's your side, this is my side. And I thought about the other day, I always slept on the right side of the bed. You know I still sleep on the right side of the bed now? If me and my wife leave our house, we go on vacation, go to the hotel, it's just, I get on this side of the bed. Why? Because that's how I'm always, my tradition. I always get on this side of the bed. This is where I wake up. I'm used to putting this foot out first. That's the way I've always done it. And I would freak out if I go in the room and you're on my side of the bed. That's my side. What are you doing over there? That's my tradition. And that's how easy it is. It translates the same way in life. And so we've got to make an evaluation. You know, I'm a personal trainer. I did that for many years. Used to lift weights and get into bodybuilding competitions and all that stuff. And one of the things that is this, oh my goodness, the most hurtful thing sometimes to do is look in the mirror. What if we could have a church mirror where the church could just look at itself and see the truth?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, we went to Birmingham, and a lady took a picture of my family, and she sent it back to me, and when I saw what I looked like in my clothes, oh my goodness, I said, is that me? I can't believe I look like that. You know, if it was the truth, and it was staring me in the face, it was the truth, and nobody wants to see the truth, and I'm telling you today, tradition is a truth that we have to realize it is here. We have to look at it as a church. We have to look at it as individuals and say, where am I missing the mark? Because if this has crept into my life somewhere, and this crazy pastor from Kosciuszko is coming to tell me about it, now I know, now I'm accountable for it.
Right.
Before that, today, it was just comfortable. Mm-hmm. Now I got to look at my life and figure out, where am I putting the world? Well, maybe not just the world, maybe myself. How I feel, what I think, above the word of God. Mm-hmm. Coming to a close. 12:30 is our point, right? Why? Whatever. Can I get about 5 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Raise your hand if I can have 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. All right. I got an hour. Tradition as it pertains to the church. The root of tradition as it pertains to the church is fear. Fear comes directly from the devil. It's the fear. The fear of, now that I know this, I got to change something. And when I make these changes, my world is going to be drastically different. Drastically. I took a stand in my church, planted a church in Kosciuszko in 2008, and one of the first things I said is, I will not intentionally, I will not just pastor an all-black church. Because I'm not all black. And I know you're looking at me right now saying, you're not? From what I can see, you're all black. No, I'm not. What you're looking at right now is not even me. You won't even be able to see me until this is gone. I'm inside of here. I have to pastor what identifies with what's in me, not what is on me, if that makes any sense. And so, if I'm just going to build my church for my peeps, what about God's peeps? What about the hurting people? What about the fatherless people? What about the motherless people? What about the widows? What about sinners? If I'm just going to base my life on my culture, what is culture anyway? Tradition, thank you. That's all it is tradition. And so, because there's this fear of breaking with tradition, we get stifled, not just in our personal lives, but in our church lives. Do you know that, I believe it's estimated that outside of this Ashley Morgan or whatever her last name is, I keep saying her wrong name, outside of that, there are about 1,500 churches that close daily. The pastors say, at the end of their sermon, thank you for coming today, this is our last week. It's the fear that grips and it stifles. That if my church doesn't get beyond 500 people, like a big church should be, then my ministry, according to what people traditionally think of church, is not a growing church. If we can change that tradition to line up with the Word of God and realize that people are the church, if the people are growing, then the church is growing.
Yeah.
So your church may not ever, you may not ever build a second floor upstairs. You can still be growing. All the chairs may never be filled, and you can still be growing. Our church pulled off an event that gave out 700 book bags, not 700. We had 700 people in attendance, gave out 270 book bags, and our church, probably 25 people. Every year got bigger, and it continued to grow. God continued to send people. He sent resources. He sent funds. He sent people to cook. He sent people. More other churches bought book bags for our event than our church did. And everybody didn't look the same. But I had to break with tradition. And when I made the announcement, I'm not going to pastor just a black church. You know what happened? A lot of people left. We don't like to hear that word, racist. There's no such thing as racist. Everybody's colorblind. You know, there's such thing as racist. There are such thing as race. Everybody's not colorblind. It's just the truth. But if we allow that to be the basis upon which we carry the Word of God and allow the Spirit to flow through us, then we are being silent. Because Jesus Christ came, Paul said this, and he died, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There's this fear. What does the Bible say about fear? 1 John 4:18-21 says this. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Why? Love is perfect because it casts out fear. Fear has what? Torment. Oh my goodness. The torment of breaking with tradition. The torment of losing friends. Torment of being ostracized. Torment of losing valuable connections. I remember growing up when I was in school a long time ago that if you had a friend or you had two friends, but your friend A was on the outs with friend B, now you had to choose whether you're going to be friends with friend A because they don't like B anymore. Do you know that translates to your adult life? So, you know, if I like Ronnie, but I got this racist black friend, Jerome, and Jerome doesn't like Ronnie, then I want to go fish with Ronnie, but I got to keep Jerome. You know what? Bye-bye, Jerome. Because I don't have the fear of losing Jerome. Because if that's the way Jerome feels, he's not my friend anyway. He's definitely not here with the Spirit of God. And so we got to, you know, it's tradition. And all the other isms, not just racism, that's just one that I'm making a point of, but it's not just that. It's any kind of ism or schism in the body that we got to deal with. We got to break it without fear, because fear has torment. And if there's so much torment on me that I'm willing to compromise what I know is the will and the word of God to keep friends, then I've got a real problem with what I call my relationship with Christ. I need to make some evaluations. I need to look in the mirror. I need to really think about, what is my salvation based on? Is it based on a denomination? That's an ism. It really is. And they say people are leaving churches. People are not leaving churches. The church is growing. People are leaving denominations. Because they're finally realizing that this is divisive. It may not have started out that way, but it is now. It may have started out as something good and something wholehearted, but the world has made it, okay, if you're this denomination, then you can hold your head up and look down your nose at everybody else. Because we have the biggest denomination in the United States, and we're growing. Yeah. And you guys over there, you know, you're beating on tambourines running around the church speaking in tongues. You know what? I want to be where the Spirit is. I want to be where God is moving. I want to be where the Holy Spirit is doing His work, where He is evident, where He is being manifest, not where somebody tells me you can't feel the Holy Spirit anymore. We have a tendency to say that. Oh, you just got to believe He's there. You can't feel it. But you know, when the Holy Spirit is in the room and when His presence is there, there's something that comes on you and you know that He is there. But when you feel like you're going to be the oddball, if you confess that, then you compromise it and you go back to tradition. Wow. Am I preaching a little bit good there? And so I want to say this. There is so much more to be gained when you break from tradition than you could ever have holding on to it. Yeah. I want to talk about this. This is kind of the conversation that I had. I think Pastor Jimmy knows about it. I posted this on Facebook a while back. I have a friend, very good friend, and it's a touchy issue, and we're real good friends, and he's, of course, he's another race. I'm not going to say what race. And he wrote me a letter, I mean, just passionate, and he says, what do you feel about this is when the flag issue was up. What do you feel about the flag? I said, you know, I really don't have any issue either way with the flag, the Confederate flag. And so he says, well, I just want to tell you this. And he goes into this rant. And even though it's typing, you can feel the spirit of it. That, you know, I believe it's this and I believe it's that, and it's not what people are making it out to be, and you know, it's this and this. And I said, well, I have no problem with that. I said, but here's the thing. If you can stand before God and tell Him everything you just told me and think He'll be okay with it, then I'm okay with it. And I never heard back from him. So a little while later, a little while later, he wrote me back and he said, well, I see what you're saying. And he says, well, you know what? I can't remember word for word what he said, but he said, this is all I got left, or it's where my power is. This is what if I let go of this, what else will I have? I wish I had saved it. But my thing to him was, that's not your power. Yeah. That's not your power. That's your crutch. Yeah. Your power is in Him. Your power is in love. That's what the Word says. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. That's where your power is. It's in the Word of God. And if you're holding on to that, one day it's going to fade away anyway. It's going to fade away anyway. And if you're holding on to that, you're powerless. Or even your power is diminished, because it only gives you one avenue of ministry. We got to lay traditions down. I don't care less whether you put up a Christmas tree or not, whether it's a pagan religion or not. It's not about the tree. It's about who do you celebrate? Yes. Who are you worshiping? Why are you doing it? He's not looking at what you did. You can do a good thing for the wrong reason. It's the motive behind it. What is the motivation? motivation for going to grandma's every year for Thanksgiving. Is there anything wrong with it? No. But in your heart, you don't want to be there. Grandma's over in the wheelchair in the corner. She's head popped over. Bob and Dick's hanging out. Everybody's bored. You can't watch football because it's too loud. You might wake up grandma. You know? And you hate it the whole time you're there. And then you get back in the car and you talk about how bad the meal was and, you know, how, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. I don't need to go into it. I'm getting along with you. But I'm saying, it's the same thing. There's nothing in it for you, but you hold on to it because this is what the family does. And if I don't show up, the family's going to wonder what's wrong with you. Why didn't you show up? Well, you're too good to come to grandma's now. Even though I'm making light of that, Satan does that to us all the time.
Right.
And we bite it. I mean, we fall for it. We bite it. Oh, you're too good to come to our church. You want to go over there with Pastor Jimmy. And you all sing for hours. Because you think you're more spiritual than everybody else. What's wrong with our church? You know, what's wrong with choir rolls and hymn books? What happened to the old hymns? All that stuff is going to pass away. Hear people argue all the time about the style of worship. Jesus already talked about style of worship. It doesn't matter whether you worship there in that mountain or down here. It matters, do you know who you're worshiping? Well, you all don't sing hymns anymore. One day, they won't be singing what we sing now. It's all tradition. And we hold on to things, we put value in things that don't matter to God. What matters to God? What matters to Him is that you walk and fulfill the purpose that He put you on this earth for. What matters to Him is that you expand His kingdom by the life that you live every day. What matters to Him is that you carry the Word of God in your heart, and when He tells you to speak it, that you have a spirit inside of you that doesn't look at who you have to speak it to. You just say what God says because that's what the Spirit has put in you to do. That's what matters to God. All this other stuff, all the buildings that we build, all the material things that we gain, all this stuff is going to pass away. What matters to God is what is eternal.
That's right.
Am I on 10? Oh. Let me bring it back down. I'm on 10. I'm a little excited. But that's what matters to God. His kingdom is what matters. His kingdom, He said, you can't listen to someone saying, look, it's over here, over there. No. The kingdom is within you. That's where it is. And so I came here today to encourage you to hopefully say something that can free you, to set you free, to set all of us free as a church. We are the body of Christ. That's what we are. We're not the body of this or the body of that. We're not just the church of healing, or we're not the church of deliverance. We're not the church of, you know, whatever it is. We are the body of Christ, and all of those things are in us. God is multifaceted. God didn't just make a few stars and fling them out there. They're still finding stars today that they've never seen before. God is so much bigger than we put Him in this little box. He's so much bigger than that. They had one telescope, they thought they'd seen everything, they made a bigger telescope, but they said, now we got to make a bigger one because there's other galaxies out there. And we want to put that God in a box. We want to put that God in a style of worship. We want to put that God in a denomination. We want to put that God in a color. We want to put that God in a culture. He's bigger than all of that. Wow. If you've never had an opportunity to just go and look through a telescope and see all that God created, it blows your mind. Just the majesty of the heavens. Inanimate things. And the glory that God has placed before us, it blows your mind. No wonder the psalmist said, look at man. What is it that you see in him? What is it that you have crowned him with this glory? And you have fashioned him, made him a little lower than the angels. Some translations say a little lower than Elohim, God himself. When I look at the splendor things that I'm a science major, and I understand the logic, but still, you make things with seed, and they reproduce after their own kind without my help. And you made this, and you put us in it, and you crowned us with glory as your greatest creation. You can't mess that up with tradition. Wow. So my prayer for you today, my prayer for me and the body of Christ as a whole, is that we would reevaluate the things that we hold dear. Reevaluate the things that make us safe. Reevaluate what we think makes us who we are. We are only good at Him. You are only good at Him. As a matter of fact, He says, look, I'm the vine. You are branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Wow. But if you dwell in me, my word, or you abide in me, my word abides in you, you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done. Wow. That's an awesome promise. To allow man's doctrine, man's ways, man's rules and regulations, which some of them may be good. You know, there's stop signs there for a reason. That's not tradition. But I challenge you today. Take this message to heart. I know the Holy Spirit is doing His work right now. And when, not if, but when the Spirit challenges you, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your healing is in there. Your deliverance is in there. Your prosperity, all those things we pray for and we want so badly, it's attached to our value system. We got to put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. Amen. I want to pray for you today. Before I take my seat, I just believe that this is not coincidence. I believe that the Holy Spirit has probably already done some things in this room. Maybe already challenged some people in their thinking. Maybe challenged you to evaluate some relationships. To evaluate some ideologies even maybe. Ideas that you hold on to. But here's the thing. The enemy says that when the word is sown, the seed of the word is sown, immediately the enemy comes. Pluck up that which was sown. Why? So that it won't get rooted in your heart. My prayer is that the work of the Holy Spirit will put that seed so deep in our hearts that we can't get away from it. We want to fulfill His will. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Pursuit Church. I thank you for Pastor Jimmy, Lord, and his staff and all those that make up this wonderful congregation, God. But even beyond this, Lord, I pray for the body of Christ as a whole, Lord, that we with purpose in our hearts, God, to do what pleases you, not what pleases man, not what pleases mom or dad, not necessarily what pleases those around us who love us the most. And even though we love them, God, and we want to have a right relationship with them, God, we value our relationship with you more.
Yes,
we value the work that you have begun in us more. And so we pray now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that if there's anyone who has realized today that there are some things that I have held on to, there are some things that I have made priority, there are some ideals that I have held more dear than the Word of God, and I need to let those things go, I pray, God, that you would give them the power to be able to do that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you break the fear from over their lives in the name of Jesus. I declare right now in the name of Jesus that the spirit of fear is broken, and that the word of God is powerful enough to call us into obedience in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you right now, God, for even those who are struggling maybe a little bit with this message right now, God. I thank you, God, that they honor you enough to even struggle with it, to even think about it, to consider it, God. And my prayer, God, is that you would get the glory that you would fulfill your will in their lives, and that their purpose would be made sure. Thank you for those who are even being healed right now in their bodies. Cancer drying up. Aches being relieved.
Yes.
Bodies being healed. Minds, spirits being healed. Spiritual diseases being healed in the name of Jesus. We want to be free to receive all that you have for us. And we thank you that it's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give God a hand?